I'm going to begin a teaching today entitled The High Place. Some of you are familiar with my testimony from my earlier years when I was a child. Basically, until the night before my wife and I were married, I had things going on in the bedroom in the realm of the spirit. I didn't really have a grid to understand what it was. I was constantly seeing shadows, shifting colors, shapes, apparitions, those kind of things. And I had a lot of nights where I was literally terrified. I would cry out, and this wasn't a few times. It wasn't a bunch of times. It was almost nightly for years. And I know it was frustrating to my parents. And I have grown through the years after when Mickey and I got married, all of that stopped. I began growing in the Lord a few years after that, and then the Lord called me in the ministry. But I began gaining understanding that maybe some of that was warfare over the call of God on my life. But now I've also grown in my understanding to realize that where we lived was the high place in the area. It literally was the highest point. We could look out of our window. Now, the first few years of my life, we didn't live there, but when I was about 5 years old, we moved there, and it was the highest place in the area. And I didn't have an understanding about high places and what they can stand for and be used for. And so in the scripture, the Bible talks a lot about the high place or high places. We're going to come to this scripture in a moment. I put it on the title slide that we put online just to give people an idea where it may be headed. But I'm going to begin by sharing with you quickly that God was often worshipped on the high places. Here's an example out of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. And if you will see there in the middle of that scripture, it says, "Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice of the," this is the man of God, "the sacrifice of the people today on the high place." So God was often worshipped on high places. If you'll remember, he met Moses there and gave him the law. He met Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration when he had that glorious encounter where the glory of God radiated from within him. And you see this throughout the scripture. God was often worshipped on the high places. Not that he couldn't be worshipped anywhere, everywhere, but the high place. You know, in the natural, high place is somewhat, we would say, closer to heaven. You can see further from the high place. It takes more effort to get up there. So it wasn't unusual for the Lord to be worshipped on the high place. But we also see in the scripture that pagan gods were worshipped on the high places. Now, the enemy, remember, he's the copycat. And if the Lord would meet with people and there would be God encounters with people on those mountains in the high places, then obviously the enemy would want to take that ground and receive that worship, because that's always his design and desire, because he's evil and he wants worship that belongs to God. And so we see here in 1 Kings 11, this is the passage. If you read the early verses in 1 Kings 11, we are told there that Solomon had married many foreign wives. He had taken many foreign wives that served other gods. He allowed them to have their idols. But over time, the influence of these wives began to manifest in Solomon until he sanctioned the worship of false god on the high places. Let's read it. "Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh." That's not Jehovah God. Chemosh was the abomination of Moab. It's who the Moabites worshipped. And on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, he built that. And for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. Molech's the one they would often heat up and burn babies in his arms. So these were pagan gods, but they were energized by demons. because it's Satan wanting worship that belongs only to God. He always works through deception to bring that about. And so people were sanctioned by their king to allow the worship of pagan gods throughout Israel. The promised land that God had given his own children when he led them out of Egypt, that land that God said, when you go there, don't you worship their gods. Don't you marry their women. And yet we see when these violations start taking place that there is the progression until the point that they are worshiping demonic entities. Pagan gods were worshipped on the high places. Well, what does God think about that? We are told that they are given a command to destroy the idolatrous high places. Often in those Old Testament books, as you're reading through the history of Israel, they would fall away from the Lord, and then there would be a time of reformation or revival. That was always, initially when that started, it began with tearing down the altars of Baal, tearing down the high places of Shamash, Molech. That was required. In other words, the land had to be cleansed and dedicated to God. So you may think, well, that's way back then. They worshiped all this stuff. That's not true. Oh, yes. Because when we step into the New Testament and start learning about demonic activity in the New Testament, we see that, yes, we too still are in a battle of who will have the allegiance of our heart. Who will our nation worship and serve and so forth. If you'll remember when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, the last temptation was this. The devil carried Jesus up to where? A high mountain. And what did he do? He offered him the kingdoms of the world. Now, God sent Jesus to restore what Adam lost, to be that man that would restore authority in the earth realm. And so the enemy basically saying, what God sent you here to do and give you, I'll give you a pass and a shortcut. You don't have to go through everything he's going to take you through. I'll give it to you right now if you will fall down and worship me. That's the end goal for Satan. But Jesus rebuked him, said, you'll only serve the Lord your God, and so forth. And the Bible says the devil left him for a season, and then the angels came and ministered. It was high-level, intense, spiritual warfare in Jesus' life. When we get to the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul opens up some understanding of the spirit realm. What he describes, we see in the Old Testament when Daniel's fasting and praying, and then he's later told, your prayer was being answered early on, but there was warfare in the heavenlies and we couldn't get here. And they described the spiritual entities that were withstanding the angels of God. Yes, that kind of stuff takes place. But he got his breakthrough. Well, Paul gives us a blueprint of more of what that looks like in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's encouraging believers to wear the armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in the Greek is the word methodios. It's where we get the word methods. He's saying that you need God's armor because the enemy has different methods and strategies to come against you to take you out. He goes on to say, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is one of his methods, is to make you think your problem is another person. Now, we do have problems with people. We're all aware of that. Some people behave better than others, and some folks got a streak of meanness in them as wide as the highway out there. That's just the truth, but Paul is letting us know the real battle that's energizing even those people is not with them, it's with the powers beyond them. He goes on to say, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but here's something we do wrestle against. That's implied. We wrestle against principalities, powers, the ruler, and notice against is given, against, there's, we're being opposed by these things, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of what? Now they are described, their nature, the nature and essence of these entities that we're battling. Spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Earlier in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, neither give place to the devil. That word place in Ephesians 4 is the Greek word topos. It's the same word we get the word topography from. A piece of ground. Geography, a geographic location, land. You can give up ground and land. And so he's talking here about the spiritual landscape of your life. You can yield and give up ground to the enemy. But there's also a literal meaning that territories, lands, houses, and so forth can become influenced by the enemy. And we're going to hear a powerful story in a few minutes that I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come and share. I'm working my way to that story. And then in the book of Galatians, we're introduced to another very important area that we have to understand relates to being influenced by these forces of wickedness, the rulers of the darkness, the spiritual host of wickedness. And by the way, when you see that word host in the Bible, like the heavenly host, the host of the Lord, the host of wickedness, That in Hebrew and Greek, if you were to translate that into redneck or southern, it means there's bukoodles of them, bunches of them, innumerable. That's what Paul says. There are hosts of them in the heavenly places. Don't be confused. The heavenly places is not talking about the third heaven dwelling place of God. It is talking about the in-between place where we live and where God lives. The Bible describes the devil as the prince, which is a governing term, a ruling term, the prince of the power of the air. And that's what Daniel confronted in his intercession, all this static, demonic static and warfare between him and the messengers of the Lord that were coming. And it's important for us to understand this. Now, we're introduced here in the book of Galatians to the works of the flesh. Sometimes in the Greek words are used differently. Sometimes flesh can just talk about our humanity, human flesh, as far as just like your literal flesh, that you know, your biological life. But here, it's the word that refers to our fallen nature. As a result of what Adam did, the curse has affected us, and our default nature, apart from Christ, salvation, and the grace of God, we are a wicked lot indeed. Now, there's different levels of wickedness that manifest in people, but none of us can save ourselves. None of us can save anyone else. Someone had to come and do that for us, and that's the Lord Jesus, the God-man. Now, the flesh, though, our fallen nature, here's what we got to understand. I mentioned it already once today. You hear me say this often. The devil is a copycat. He takes God's pattern, robs them, perverts them. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, tell me, your life is to be empowered by what? By whom? The Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? We're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. God's grace comes and it empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It empowers us. The Lord has means for us to be empowered by the resources that emanate from who He is. Right? And so we're to be led by the Spirit. We're energized by the Holy Spirit. What we need to understand, the Bible teaches our flesh, our fallen nature, is energized by sin. Let that sink in. As believers, our spirit man, we're energized by the Holy Spirit. Our new man is our spirit, soul, and body brought into alignment under the lordship of Christ and walking in obedience, right? But our old man, that fallen nature, is energized by sin. That's the reason the Bible declares all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The curse passed on down. We're sinners because we sin, and we sin because we're sinners. Our flesh, our nature, apart from Christ, is energized when we commit sin. You commit sin, and you commit more and more, what happens? You become tethered to it. You become bound by it. You become influenced by it until it controls your life. That's a pattern that the enemy perverts. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to Him, obey Him. And so, well, how does that relate to what we're talking about, the host of wickedness? When we sin, that's when we begin to open gateways and doors in our life through our thoughts and behavior to allow the enemy demonically to begin to influence us. That's how people become demonized. You tiptoe into sin, take a couple of steps into sin, wade off in sin, start swimming in sin. Every level along the way, the influence of the enemy in your life intensifies. You can almost think of it as a dark anointing manifesting in your life where you're doing the will of Satan. Sometimes willingly, sometimes ignorantly through deception. Doesn't matter to him. So we need to understand this, that there's certain things that we do that opens the door for the enemy to get a hold on us. And Paul says in that section where he says, neither give place to the devil, in Ephesians 4:27 that I have up at the top there, it's in the middle of a scripture where he's telling them, when he's talking to them about not letting your anger get out of hand, not being wrathful, not let your sun go down on your wrath, about not being bitter and unforgiving. He's talking about those ways that your flesh gets a hold of you and you are yielding ground to the enemy through that behavior. Are we on the same page? You understand where I'm coming from? Okay, we're to be full of the Holy Spirit, led by Him, but when we sin, that's the reason when the enemy, that's the reason he works so hard to tempt you to sin. Because once you sin, it's like you signing off on what he wants to do. And the more you sin, the more you are giving him access to control your life. But it not only happens with a person, it happens with people groups. I want to make some statements. I have written these down for you because I want to make sure I say it in the right way. Okay, I'm just going to read these statements for you. The first one is this. This influence, now I'm talking about the influence of evil that comes into our life when we yield to sin. This influence can manifest in every form of human government, politics, religion, media, and every sphere of society. It can come upon a nation. I personally believe that in 2008 there was a shift in our country because of executive orders that were signed that began to chisel away at the underpinnings of our of a nation that was built on Judeo-Christian values and principles. And what's happened now across these years is more of that has taken place. Now people, their minds are being affected so that they don't believe there's male and female. I mean, basic, common sense, biological, made in the image of God facts that people can look at evil and think it's good, look at good and think it's evil, you know, look at something and think it's the opposite of what it is. That means the enemy, through demonic influence, is twisting and distorting the thinking of people. You can read Romans 1 and 2, and Paul shows this downward spiral of progression that can happen in a culture when they start worshiping the creature more than the creator. In the Old Testament, idols, Shamash, Molech, Baal, these other gods, we have gods in our culture. We have idols in our lives, and this is tailored to the individual and to us as a house corporately. God is wanting to do something through this group of people to begin to address the high place. All right? I'm going to read the next one. These actions authorize the enemy to become enthroned and govern and influence our lives, our homes, and our lands, releasing sickness, disease, opening doors of all types of debauchery, all of that. It can happen to a culture, a community, a city, a home, a family line, a nation. There's a global effort by the enemy's spiritual host of wickedness to unleash this. Now, this man over here, Brother Bob Kraft, I love this brother. He and Andrew and I were sitting at the table the other day, and he got to telling a story, and it just so moved my heart because it so fits with this moment. He went as a young man to Thailand, he and his wife. They were stricken with sickness. We've heard some of this testimony on a Wednesday night. His son basically died in his hands, and he said, Lord, if I had to give my son in order for this nation to be reached for Christ, then I'll give him to you. And God brought his son back to life. Now his son is working with him in the nations, and particularly Thailand, and since 2018, they planted 5,000 churches. God is moving. But when this man first went there, the devil tried to kill him, kill his family, kill his son, and there was a defining moment that he's going to come and share. Now, come on over, Brother Bob. I'm going to just let you step into this, and I want you to tell them the story about the red and white thread.
I had no idea when my wife and I moved into a little parsonage up in Cloverdale, Alabama, and God began to call us to the mission field, that he was going to call us from the Bible Belt to one of the worst places on earth. We landed in Thailand. We had nothing but opposition from the very beginning. From trying to get our stuff out of customs, trying to get up country. Everything opposed us. The missionaries where we were going to be assigned, the man had just died of cerebral malaria. And we took our six-month-old and our 22-month-old into that jungle environment, into that foreign land, where one of the first things we encountered was evil. The devil was trying to kill us. And one thing I didn't tell you the other day was that when I was in about second grade, we lived in a mobile home. And I remember distinctly, don't know whether it was a dream or a vision, but the devil came to my window of my little porthole where my bed was in that mobile home. And I knew he wanted me, and I could not forget that image the rest of my life. And we were living in wickedness, living in sin, like you say, but God had a plan. And when I got to Thailand, I had no idea that every taxi cab I got into, on the ceiling of the taxi cab, was symbols, demonic symbols, over you. There were offerings hanging to the spirits, the local spirits of the land. Every inch of Thailand has a governing spirit that they worship. I would get on a bus, and there would be wreaths of flowers hanging on the rearview mirror. Incense burning on the dash. And when we would get to the top of a hill, bump, 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 he'd beep that horn, and some of the people would turn, and every hilltop, the high places, brother, had a sacred tree where people had wrapped it with a sacred cloth, and they were worshiping it. You couldn't even get on a bus without the spirits in the high places being worshiped.
They were sold out.
Sold out completely. Oh, And not just that, but every single home, house that's built in Thailand, if it belongs to a Thai person, it's got a spirit house. A small shrine, sometimes they're elaborate. If the person is rich, they'll have a big one. If the person is poor, it'll be a simple thing. Looks a little bit like a birdhouse. And they'll put incense every single morning. There's not a building built in Thailand. A mall. I'm talking about a modern five-story mall that would blow our malls away. Every mall has a huge area where the spirits of that territory are worshipped. Every morning there are offerings on those altars. So we get up country, and thankfully, we were moving into a new house. Just had been built. Because if we had moved into a house that was sitting there a while, had been occupied, it would have a spirit house. And immediately, you would have to decide how to handle that. The landowner might not let you cover it up. And the landowner might insist that you put offerings on that. So we prayed, Lord, how are we going to deal with this? We can't have that thing sitting in the yard. We worship the living God, the Holy Spirit. And so sure enough, we told the landowner. We said, look, no need to put that in the yard. We have a spirit that protects us. Because these spirits in these spirit houses, people would offer offerings to them every morning faithfully. If they forgot a day, they'd wake up in the middle of the night like they was having a heart attack. Something was pushing on their chest. They'd say, oh, and they would run outside and put something on that altar because that evil spirit was actually oppressing them. We moved into the house. I thought, whoa, we dodged that one. No spirit house here. But it wasn't long until all these kind of things started happening to us. The devil was trying to kill us. We were in the middle of his territory. Every inch of that land had been dedicated to him. And we felt it. I got malaria. Remember the last guy died of malaria. It was crazy. I was delirious. I remember laying there, and Ramona, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was speaking Thai. Whenever I'd come to, I was speaking Thai. Brother Eddie, I'm so glad that one of the first things that we learned in the Thai language was Prapida Tirak Kopra Kumpra Ong Tipra Ong Song Sang Sarapatuksing Tukyang. Lord, Father God that loves us and that we love. We're so glad you created heaven and earth. And those were the kind of words coming out of my mouth. I came out of one of these deliriums and I looked up along the edge of the top wall of the house in the bedroom where I was laying in this fever. And right at the top edge where the roof line meets the wall, it was just a lopsided house, really rough, just a rough average house in a neighborhood in Thailand. And the Lord showed me a white and red thread, a string like you'd use to pull to keep something straight, like a construction string. But the Lord said, no. That string, it has a meaning. And I found out that even though they had not put the spirit house on the property, they had had the priest come, the Buddhist priest from the temple across the road, had come and dedicated that house during the construction, had dedicated that house by pulling the string around and putting a string around to bind everybody who comes into that place under that authority. sleeping in the devil's bedroom. I mean, under the influence. Now, God had protected us. But when I looked up there and saw that, I climbed out of bed. I said, I'm going to get that straight. I got on a chair, reached up there, started pulling it out. Yard by yard, just kept pulling it out between the 2x4 there and the roof line. Kept pulling it out. I went around the whole house. I pulled out every string. Whenever it was sticking out a little bit, I'd get a hold of it and pull it out. Took it down to the kitchen and burned it. And we walked through that house and we said, Lord, this belongs to you. We belong to you. We want your protection. We need you to be here with us by your power of your Holy Spirit. You're the only one that can keep me alive. I had a red string, right? String of the blood of Christ, right? Straight to the throne. So, Brother Eddie, what you are speaking is absolutely 100% true in our day and time. 100%. And we need to let the Holy Spirit so fill us. Got better. I got up off that sick bed. And God, you know, we began then to be able to minister.
And your landlord thought you were in trouble for doing that,
didn't he? Oh, the landlord, yeah. The landlord, you don't mess with the spirits. And you sure don't mess with something that the priest put in. And, you know, but it's okay. God protected us. He kept us going. And now, you know, 50 years later... God is blessing that land. But here's the thing that I learned. I mean, boy from Coleman County, when you got a church on every corner, going into the middle of a place where you have every corner has been dedicated to Satan, one of the largest sex crime, sex trafficking, human trafficking, alcohol, drugs, the Golden Triangle, heroin, all that stuff comes from that country. It's the first time I ever saw an 80-year-old grandmother stoned out of her head on heroin. I'd never seen that before. But I'm telling you, everything you have said today, brother, is the Lord's message to us. Wake up and pay attention.
You give the Lord a hand. Isn't that awesome? As a bridge to what he said, you know, we need to make sure our houses are cleansed. Now, we're protected by the Lord, but these principles are in the New Testament about how we give authority to the enemy, you know, through our actions. Brother Bob had sent me a YouTube video of a young Buddhist man that came to Christ. He was telling the story how he began to see ghosts and apparitions and silhouetted entities walking in his house. He became terrified. Things started happening to him. He went to his Buddhist priest, and he gave him some stuff to do. He went back. It didn't work. He came back. It didn't work. He went and told him, said, we've got to do something. He said, well, really, what's happening? This is folk Buddhism that this young man was in. The Buddhist priest told him, said, those spirits are the spirits of people who have died that can't go on. So you need to go and you need to, they can't move on until someone gives them merit. That's the word he used, merit. Said, you need to go home and do that. So he went home and he prayed this prayer to this spirit in the room. He just started praying to this spirit and said, I give you my merit so that you can pass on. You know what he was doing? Through the deception of the enemy, he was opening his spirit for that demonic spirit to really get a hold of it. And it got really bad after that. Until he got so desperate, he attended a church service, and the Lord spoke through the pastor some prophetic stuff. The man got saved, and now he's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that idea, of, you know, that's what mediums, and I'll talk more about that when we get, not today, but next week I'm going to get into more areas that we, how we can energize the enemy by doing stuff like that. You may think, well, that's innocent. Reading these witchcraft books, even stuff, honest, people think like Harry Potter stuff can be so innocent, but really it's filled with spells and incantations. They don't have to be evil in the way they're written and sound, but they can educate children on how to use their words to manipulate and cause things to happen. What is that? That's a perversion of Holy Spirit-directed, Bible-centered prayer. But instead of the Holy Spirit and the angels of the Lord coming, when you get in agreement, don't we know that if two of us agree is touching one thing, that that increases the power of the answer of the prayer? There's something happens. That's where the enemy can work through an individual. But in an area, a territory, a city, if he can start getting people to agree on things that he wants to do, and when he can start at the top and begin to make the law of the land something, in other words, use the government to sanction and provide the resources and the enforcement to make people behave in a certain way, then he's getting corporate agreement. And it increases that dark energy and power over a territory and over a people. Now you might say, well, I don't know about all this, preacher. I just don't. It's in the Word of God. From, as the old timers would say, from kiver to kiver, cover to cover. It's in the Word of God. Now, another statement that I want to make is geographic territories, and we've just heard this, can be impacted and influenced corporately when people in an area come into agreement with the enemy's agenda and activities. I was just speaking on this. This is what's happening. It's about agreement. It's about all last weekend was God snapping us into better alignment of where we need to be for this season that we're stepping into. Another statement. We need to discern what idolatrous, sinful practices, lies, and evil influences may be affecting our lives and the sphere we live in, and we need to cut them off. You see my little title there that I used? It's like talking about closing, cutting off, casting off, and cleansing the high place. Learning to discern the sin and spirits that are in our sphere. We are people who are to be filled and governed by the Holy Spirit, who are surrounding by what Hebrews 1 teaches us are the ministering spirits, the angels of God, the holy angels of God. So that's the spiritual influence that we have. We're surrounded by that. But the enemy, the copycat, he's mocking and perverting God's pattern and using himself. He has demonic spirits. The enemy's not omniscient, but learns through observation. They have a long experience and history of observing humans, what human weaknesses are. We use the term familiar spirits. If you think of that as family line spirits, certain spirits that have been assigned to your family lineage, your family tree, and so they know what worked on grandpa. Oh, they know how they got to grandmama. Oh, they know how they got to your daddy. They know how they got to your mama. They know how you got. So they'll bring those things to align and bear in your life, and if they can get you into sin in those areas, you open the door to demonic influence so that the enemy now is using you for his agenda and his purpose. I'm going to step into this first area, and I'm closing here today because I wanted to introduce to you. I'm just going to briefly talk about this. We'll get into it deeper next week. I'm not going to go through that whole Galatians 5 passage, the work of the flesh. But here in the book of Revelation 9:21, it says, "And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries." The Greek word for sorceries there is the word pharmakia. It's the word we get pharmacy from. I'll talk about that in a moment. Are there sexual immorality? Are there thefts? This is just a short list, an umbrella list, if you will. And you know when this is taking place? When God is beginning to pour out his harsh judgment on the earth. I mean, heavy duty, global phenomenon is happening, that's judgment and death and destruction and fire and all this kind of stuff. And what the scripture is telling us here, even with that, they still wouldn't repent. Why? Because their murders, their sorceries, all these things still had such a hold on them. In other words, they were sold out to the enemy. So this is real. This is true. And it all plays into the end times, that those high places that haven't been taken over by the Lord, they will be. Because when Jesus comes back, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ in a way that hasn't been heretofore. So I'm just going to talk about drugs for a minute. And then I'll step back into it more deeply next week. There's a difference in people using medicine or a drug for legitimate purposes, sometimes because of pain. And so you see this in the Bible. But what happens is, especially with the narcotics and opioids and so forth, there comes a time when you're no longer, it's not the pain issue that's the problem, it's the craving for the high. It's the craving for what it does to you. And that becomes a soulish, a mindful, more of a spiritual thing, if you will. It takes control. And I'll talk about this in the area of alcohol next week, because the scripture is very clear about this. This is like with medicines. There's certain medicines that you may need and may take, and if it's good and it helps you, thank God for that. But there's a drug culture that is demonically driven that people have become enslaved to because they crossed that line. You see down there, there's a high from the wrong high place that they experience. See, there's no high like the Most High, the Lord God Most High. So the enemy wants to use drugs so that people can have, quote, spiritual experiences that tether them to Him. He uses the occult in that way. We'll get into that next week. But now we're talking about pharmakia, because that is rooted in sorcery. More about that next week. But sorcery, the occult, pharmakia, In Bible times and throughout history, we know that, like Native American cultures, we use peyote to have these visions and dreams and so forth. There's a big modern thing that our culture is dealing with, psychedelic use of mushrooms to have these experiences. In Bible days, even witchcraft, we use terms like potions. You know, there's certain potions that people take that enhances their ability to experience the spirit realm. And see, you may think, well, the spirit realm, that's awesome. Well, there's a part of it that's amazing, beautiful, a blessing. That's what we're called to operate in. We are to operate spiritually in the realm of the spirit. But the enemy, see, again, perverting, wants to form an allegiance with people to bring them into the dark side, the evil side. And what the enemy will entice, give you highs and experiences, but the end is he'll spend it on you and destroy your life. And the graveyards are full of people who chose to go that route. He is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So this is an area across our country, and this is not a political statement. I'm just telling facts now. These last years, when we've just allowed people to come in impeded across our borders, we want people to come legitimately, but these drug mules and so forth, bringing all these illicit drugs across, smuggling them into our nation, we now have an opioid crisis. Our younger generation are being introduced to things. When I was growing up, it was primarily a can of beer. And then by the time I got out of high school, smoking a joint, that was the big, you know, now there's a buffet of drugs to tinker with and experience, to experiment with. It's pervasive. Behind it, demonic powers, because it results in the destruction of people's lives. Okay, I'm winding this down. We'll get back into this next week. But I want to ask you individually. You may be here today, and you're loving God. You're praying. You're going after the Lord. You're reading the Word. I want to ask of you, whatever your level is of loving the Lord right now, take it up. Ever how much you've been praying, pray more. Ever how much you've been witnessing, do it more. Ever how much you've been getting in the Word, do it more. Because God is calling us as a congregation to step into a place where we become an army of the Lord to begin to see, to shift things. And we have people here this morning that have been so faithful across many years, storming the gates in prayer, standing, prophesying, decreeing, interceding. But it's time that all of us take it up. We are called to that. Because this house, if you were here last weekend, God is shifting this thing. This house has a part. Chuck Pierce prophesied about Florence. Would have to demonstrate what God wants to do in this state. We're going to be having a meeting here on March the 8th, Saturday, and March the 9th, Sunday. But on March of the 8th, we're going to have people from all across Alabama that's going to come here. And the focus is going to be about the portal, the well of worship that's here. That we're going to meet here and release that across the state. I'm in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm charging our worship team. Where are you, son? I'm charging you in the name of Jesus Christ before this audience that y'all are going to press in, and you're going to press in to the sound the Lord wants to release that day. We're going to begin to pray about the music and what we're going to release, because what we're releasing is going to be carried. There's going to be an impartation on it. I'm calling our intercessors to pray for our worship team on a level you haven't prayed before. And what we saw today, that's, you know, we're going to, it's going to become increasingly thick and intense. And it needs to be ordered of the Lord, flowing with the Holy Spirit. But, and there's a relationship, there's part of what we're going to be teaching between our worship and our praise and our music and cleaning and cutting free the atmosphere, not just here. In our homes, in this city, in this region, affect this state. And that we have prophecies that what God releases here in the way of worship will be heard around the world. I don't say that out of any kind of arrogance or pride. I say it with the fear of the Lord, because it puts the fear of the Lord upon us that we've got to step in and position ourselves to overcome any fear, any inhibition, the things that hold us back, and go with the Lord. And I'm grateful for where we are. Please don't hear me saying anything but that. But I'm saying the requirement the Lord is placing on us is being escalated. Because we are being brought into a moment of time that's going to be very impactful. And the future of this house with the Institute of Creativity, sometimes inside my head it's like a pinball machine. Just, you know, how are we going to do all this? But we will, by the grace of God, bring about what He has. I decree and declare this morning that there will be resources from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. There will be resources to pay off this building, to build a new building, and to fund it and resource it with everything's needed for that Institute of Creativity and this house of grace to be all God has called us to be. I decree and declare that we are going to step into the fuller measure of what God has for us in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that God is going to begin to loosen the bonds that have tethered us to things here below, so that we can step into a season of signs and wonders and miracles. And we're not going to be fooled by that, because that's really not what it's about. What it's about is the lives that are being changed in the midst of that. Sometimes we want to make a circus out of it and be entertained by it. It's not about that. It's about the arm of the Lord reaching into this city and saving the lost. Performing a miracle to say, hey, I'm God, serve me. I have what you need, serve me. That's what the Lord wants, to serve Him. So I'm calling you up. There are times you may need to be in this altar. You've never come to this altar. It's God getting you to overcome that timidity or that pride or that dignity. Would to God that we would have the services where we're all on our faces and weeping before the Lord over the souls of men and women and boys and girls. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to see the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done. And we're going to need a lot of help. And listen, we don't have this well-designed, laid-out plan. One step at a time, doing what, like Jesus, he's doing what the Father is. The best that we can. Will we miss it at times? More than likely. But let's have our hearts in the right place. And let's go for it. I want you to stand with me this morning. Father God, I'm praying for a heavenly deposit to be released into the lives of every person in this room this morning. To take us from where we are. To move us in the direction of where you are taking us. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit of God begin to move across this room. If we mentioned drugs, if it's something like that holding you back, be loose from it in Jesus' name. If it's pornography, be loose from it in Jesus' name. If you're outside the sexual boundaries prescribed by Scripture, be loose from it in Jesus' name. If greed's got a hand on your neck, be loose from it in Jesus' name. If you're empathetic, uncaring, and indifferent to people that are lost and dying without Christ, be loose from that. May the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, and may you be made alive unto God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. This altar's open if you need to pray. Prayer team members, come. Be here for anyone that has a need. This is for you if you want somebody to pray with you. If you're lost without Christ, today can be the day of your salvation. Jesus died on the cross to save you. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. Just call on His name. Call on His name. He'll honor that prayer. And He'll give you what you need. If you're bearing a burden, come lay it at the feet of the Lord. If you're struggling, come, get prayer. May the Holy Spirit move through these altar workers today with gifts and power. Our worship team's going to begin to sing. I appreciate your patience this morning. But we're going to begin this altar time. For those who need to come, you come on up right now. I'm going to release you in just a moment. But you feel free to linger. You feel free to come pray in Jesus' name. As we start singing right now, come, come. Come.
Nothing worth more, no will ever come close. They can compare.
Are there others you come? This could be the hour where things shift and change.
Your presence.
He's real. And He loves you. Are there others you come?
The sweetest of love, my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone.
Have your way, Holy Spirit.
Your presence.
Pastor Larry has a word.
I've asked Holy Spirit to watch my words, because this is a very sacred time. Last weekend, when Kyle and Dan were here, and God did such an elevated work in our pastor's life, Pastor Ed and Pastor Mickey, I wasn't purposely looking at his face, but I was seeing where I could see his face. And when they were addressing the apostleship on their lives, I just glanced at his face. And the only word I could come up with right now is decimated. He was saying on his facial expression, I can't do this myself. That, people, is the sign of an apostle. He wasn't straightening his tie and fixing his hair. That's a fraud. Do you hear what I'm saying? He was saying with his facial expression, and I shared it with him. I hope I'm not doing it too personal. That's what I saw, and that's what we've seen here. And I'm just making an appeal to some of my friends. You missed the whole weekend. Don't take this as a religious thing, but you missed the whole weekend. I can't make you hungry. But that's what he's just saying, stepping up. See, there's a stepping up for all of us. I'm piggybacking. That we can all go up. It's time for all of us to go up. Don't you get tired of living in the swamps when you stand on the rock?
Amen. Dismiss us in prayer, Pastor Larry. Thank you for being as all the remains open. Thank you for your encouragement. We are going to do it together. Amen. Pray for us, brother.
Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And amen and amen.
God bless you.